wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch, like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pen Pals with Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel here on Team Coco FM Radio. If you like this show and you don't feel compelled to sing that theme song loudly, we will do everything in our power to convert you to understand the power of that song.
I love it.
So delicious.
You're going to be
Daniel Vaniel Canyon. You Hi, guys buddy. Are here with Rory Maury Scory and Daniel Vaniel Canyon. Your pen pals. It's your show. We just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just an update. You want to message us?
Yes.
You go. Email us. Email us. thepenpalspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Write us about anything. Don't write us a novel, you lunatic. Write us whatever you want to talk about. And then your mind go, is this a decently fast read? Could they read this in 2 to 3 minutes and then start to chat about it? And if you think the answer is yes, send us that.
Mm-hmm. And we'll write you back in audio form.
And always a reminder, anybody new to this community, here's a couple things you might want to know about. We have older episodes. You can go back and see how this show got to where it is and why we do all these hashtags. And who is this Adam Shanley and Emily Cox and this Nuno that gets spoken of and Aristotle? These are all characters on this show. Daniel and I are just characters on this show. So are they. Go back, take a listen. But I think now that we are 3 episodes in, it's time to introduce to this audience. He also will not be given a microphone. That's a longstanding rule on this show. But our new producer, who is he's always listening, and he often yells at us. Then that's not talked about enough. But his name is Sean Doherty, and he's the man behind the curtain. For all the old listeners who know that we have producers, this is our third one.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Doherty. Now you know his name. We're going to be referencing him quite a bit, and it's going to be with vitriol.
Well, no, you're like, right.
Why do you work together? Why are you mean to him? Why do you have to work together if
friction
you hate each
breeds
other?
Creativity?
That's exactly. That's always been my philosophy.
Yeah,
friction is important.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he is, he's our new producer, and you're going to get to know him over time. And, there's a Facebook page, there's a fan section. There's I don't know what it even is. Shanley started it, and, it's not sanctioned by us, but if you really love this show and you want more of it, there is more of it to be had. Patreons and all that shit. We'll get into that down the road.
And rate and review and subscribe, please, on iTunes. It really does help. You've probably heard that from so many other podcasts before, and either everyone is lying
There's a reason.
You, or that is how it works.
That is how it works.
Rory, before we go, before we get into today's letters, mm-hmm. I want to read you a quick little review, okay?
All right.
5 stars from Shandy24.
Now, that's going to be the maximum amount of stars. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, obviously, someone who likes it.
Now, the thing I love about this is it proves the fact that if you leave us a review, we might read it.
Yeah.
And if you do, postmark it. Tell us where you're going to be. And maybe even ask us a question. But here, this one is from Shandy24. 5 stars. Titled Both Ends. On the advice of another reviewer, I started listening to the first episodes and also listened to the newest episodes when they come out. See, it works, friends. It's so cool that some of the same sayings are still being used. Thank you for sticking with each other and working through other people's problems, OPP. I can relate to many of the pennies. Saga, # grow the show.
Oh, so many phrases.
I know.
That's great. That's a great review.
A review created a review and also created a thing in somebody's life that they're like, I love this show.
And brand new penny or a paller.
Exactly. # grow it, baby.
Grow it.
# grow it, baby.
That's right.
All right. You want to do it?
Yes. Everyone who's brand new and everyone who's an older listener to this community, before we go, we just like to say, welcome. We hope you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Let's go to the letters.
It's good.
It's so stupid. It's truly so stupid that it fills my heart with joy. Can I tell you something that fills my heart with? I know we've already talked about it. I know we say it all the time.
What?
Go to Netflix and watch I Think You Should Leave season 2. If you like stupid stuff that is so stupid, it's genius. That's what this show is. And Rory, watch it. It's a good laugh and you need it.
When he wears the old man costume.
And he's like, I don't want to be around anymore.
No, it's so.
And they're like, wait, what do you mean? You want to like die?
Hey, go talk to that woman with the purse. And then what?
It's so stupid. God, I love it. And I love him. I think he is so.
We should have Tim geniusly
funny
at some point.
We'll get him. We will get him in here.
Okay.
We get so aggressive too. About it. We'll fucking get him. He'll be in here.
Am I going?
I think I'm you're. And also, anyone who's new, just to mention, some of the shows we're going to have guests.
Yeah.
And some of the shows it's just me and Daniel. And right. We're figuring out. We used to not really have guests at all. In 3 years, I think we had 5 or 6 guests. Our goal maybe now with 6. Team Coco is to have more guests. And if you're listening to this and you've listened to the other ones, you know that by now we've had Casey Wilson as a guest on the show. And we have many more. Down the road to come.
They're great.
And
I wouldn't even know. I don't
it's
know.
It's so much fun.
They're just new pen pals.
They're just new pen
you'll
pals.
You'll always write the letters to us. They'll always be treated with the same sort of comedy, fun, and caring. They'll just be a third person that will bring that same energy. So
I love it.
More the merrier. That's how I live my life. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Dear Rory Borealis and Daniel Bandcamp.
Okay.
Long order, but we'll allow it.
Good
when
order.
When I was in high school, my extended family got very into Ancestry.com. They started collecting stories and family tree info and sharing it with everyone's AOL addresses. One of the stories that came out of that process has since become family legend. It goes like this.
When did Ancestry.com start?
I know, AOL. So that has to be like pre-2002.
Right.
Definitely pre-2005, right? Ugh.
I love it when we go detective mode. You know what I mean?
Don't you remember when the internet was on CDs?
Yeah.
How many hours?
That's how I still use it.
You do? I think we talked about this recently, but like the audacity of AOL, they wanted to own the internet. Like, you know, it's just through us. That's how you get on.
Yeah.
And it almost worked. Like for a while, it worked pretty well.
I still stand by it.
That whole, really?
I love their attitude and their ownership.
The audacity.
Audacity. Yep.
Family legend.
Here we go.
And it goes like this. In the early 1900s, my great-grandfather, Peter Markey, left the wee County Louth, that's in Ireland, for a better life in America. He traveled by boat, and he traveled alone, leaving behind his newly pregnant wife. Spoiler alert, she was pregnant with my grandfather and his 3 other children. He promised that once he secured a job and a place to live in America, he would send back the means for his family to follow him. A man of his word, he did exactly that about 6 months later. He bought and mailed my great-grandmother 4 boat tickets from Queenstown, Ireland to New York City. My grandmother, being the shrewd and simple Irish Catholic woman that she was, decided that my great-grandfather had spent too much on the tickets he bought, and she traded them in for tickets on a cheaper ship, leaving around the same time and on the same route. Here's where things get legendary. Rumor has it, the tickets my great-grandfather originally bought were for, drumroll, the Titanic.
The Titanic? Did you add a T, Daniel? You can't add a T.
Yes, I can. That's how big it is.
That's the one they ended up getting on. So there was the Titanic, and she traded it for the Titanic.
You can be blasé about some things, Rose, but not about the Titanic. It's over 100 feet longer than the Lusitania. I always win.
My family was on the Titanic.
We could talk about Titanic for so long.
My family came over on the maize flour. It was a little bit, it came later.
We originally docked by, we came over here by the Queen's Marty.
Yeah. Okay. I was on the Santa Marinara. That's how we got here.
I love it. The great-grandfather originally bought tickets for the Titanic.
Does that now, add, do you know enough about history? Like, does that, are we getting BS'd here? Is this legit Queenstown to New York City? Was that the route?
Well, they might have had a ship change. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Didn't even consider a ship change. But I guarantee
if it doesn't...
A layover. Can you imagine a layover with a boat? Oh, God.
I will go this far, and we'll get back into this letter, I promise. But I will say that for them to think it's possible, either you either had a ship layover or it has to be the route. Because there's no... That would have... you. If this family still thinks it's a legend and that's not where the Titanic even left from, I'm not trying to say that they're a family of goofies, but... They should have figured it out.
Hashtag family of goofies.
Okay. Here we go. Now, my family was poor and young and pregnant. So I imagine if they did get on the Titanic, they would have had a hard time surviving. Probably would have been on the lower decks. Probably would have been Leo colored by the end of the night, if you know what I mean. That makes this whole thing a bona fide miracle, in my opinion. Truthfully, we'll never know the true motivations for my great grandmother. We'll never know the true motivations my great grandmother may have had when she sold those tickets. But I like to think she believed in sensible frugality so passionately, she literally birthed an entire family line. She made it to New York and her husband, and she gave birth to my grandfather soon after. The part I never learned is whether or not she let my great-grandfather know she had traded the tickets after she did so. I sometimes imagine him reading the headlines from New York City about the Titanic disaster, unaware his prophetic wife had already saved the family from his mistake. So there it is. The legend is, my family tree branch was saved by a better deal. That's why I always use the Bed Bath & Beyond coupons for the sake of my future generations. Do you two have any family legends, stories that have become part of your mythos, but can't truly be verified? Quick thank you to both of you for coming out every week and making me laugh and think. I've been a paler for over a year now, and your cackling idiocy has gotten me through unemployment, a breakup, and a myriad of other daily challenges with a smile. Sincerely, Ryan.
I tell you what, just based on how Ryan closed out that letter, I think we've got maybe four or five other letters on the way about.
Oh, yeah.
You've gotten me through unemployment, the war, a breakup, pregnancy, dehydration. Why are Lucky Charms? What is the flavor in those? Are those actual marshmallows?
Is it weird that I want the only non-marshmallows version? Okay.
Rory. Do you know what I used to do with Lucky Charms?
What?
Pour the bowl, separate the marshmallows, and then just eat marshmallow Lucky Charm cereal.
You can get that order.
And that's, I think that's why I'm not healthy at 40, because I used to do that a lot.
Can I tell you about, I love Lucky Charms. I mean, it's not, I don't even think it's probably my top five, but I love it.
Yeah.
I have an ASMR thing. The sound of those marshmallows when you bite into them really bothers me. But it tastes so good, I get through it.
I know.
That like,
I don't even mean.
It's like when styrofoam rubs together. That sound.
It might be. It might be styrofoam.
Can I ask you first, Rory?
Yes, my family came over on the Titanic ticket.
I'm not working backwards because I'll get to that later.
You don't have to.
Did you like the movie Titanic?
I loved it.
Me too.
Can I say this? I saw it in theater with my aunt.
Yeah.
Do you say aunt or aunt?
I say aunt, but you're from the South.
I say aunt, and every time I say it, I think I sound wrong. Saw it with my aunt, cried, obviously. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Got that. Then in high school, I was telling other people. I saw it in theaters two or three times.
Oh, I saw it 80.
My younger siblings informed me of this. They go, we remember the day you came home with the double VHS and made us all watch Titanic.
Really?
I was like, that's exactly right.
It's a great movie.
Great movie.
Great
so
movie.
So great.
I was working, I was very young, working in a movie theater, and Titanic was out, And I there was a point where I knew what was happening in the movie just by hearing the score. Like, I could tell you what was going on.
That's right.
So many times.
Roar.
You can just bust that out on people without warning.
I know. Now people are just crying.
I love this story. And also, think about this. People they'll be like, oh, I had to go away for a week. Like, or us, like I got to go away. People back, they left a pregnant wife and three kids just because they heard America might be a good option.
That's right.
Wild.
Are you holding your phone up to me?
I don't know. I'm like, this letter, man, it belongs in a museum.
Oh, because you're saying this device changes all that?
No, it does. But no, I just mean like I was just holding up the thing that I was like, look at this letter where this it's just this.
Yeah. Well, it also forces you to think back to the level of patience that you was required of you. That
oh my God.
If everything breaks in 7 years as predicted, then we're going to have to adapt if we survive climate change to realizing how to be patient again, because instant communication, instant anything is going to be not an option.
But just the fear, man. Like you're like, where's David?
You won't know. You don't get to know. Patience. You have to breathe.
Well, he went to America. He said, well, we're going to have a better life there. Well, what's he doing what? We don't know.
We don't know.
Where in America? We don't know. Did he get there yet?
If we're lucky, we don't know yet. If we're lucky, Dayton, Ohio. If we're lucky.
if we're lucky. But like all of the unknown. And then he gets there, right? And he's like, all right, first thing I'm going to do, write a letter and let her know I made it here.
Yeah.
But he still doesn't have any more answers. He's just telling her I'm alive. And that's going to take, how long do you think in the early 1900s it took for a letter to get from New York to Ireland?
A long time.
If I made you guess, 2 weeks?
Are you making me guess right now?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
That would be my guess too.
Here's my question. And I mean this in a very respectful way. You're this dad. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You're leaving to go on this adventure.
We've named him David.
Are you cheating immediately? I mean, the moment you get to America.
I've often wondered.
The moment you step off of that boat, are you like, where can I meet some women? Like, is that what is happening?
Don't you ever think about that, though? Like, early 1900s, even up to the 1950s and 60s, where you're like...
I don't even think it was cheap. I think that's just what you did.
I was just going to say, like, crime was so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, depends on if you were, you know, obviously Sherlock Holmes. You get it, you know, right. Certain levels of crime.
DNA? No. Like, photo IDs? Nope.
Yeah.
Cameras? Mm-mm. Like, if you got caught after robbing a bank, you wanted to. Or you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, now...
It is curious, the evolution of catching criminals. Which I think we're realizing now is not as high as we thought it was.
What do you mean?
Well, when people, you know, in the argument of defunding the police, and people go, well, police now have in New York City have not been defunded and they solve 2% of cases. You're like, well, that's a low percentage and they have quite a hefty budget. And look, and everyone's listening and you're like, well, wait, I'm a cop. First off, why do you talk like the PXG guy? And second of all, what makes you think I am citing real numbers here?
Right.
That's someone said, someone posted a thing, they said 2%. And I was like, God, if that's true, because I always thought, it's impossible to get away with any crime. But the older I get, I realize, well, if you're very rich, you can do it.
They won't even call it crime.
It's not even crime. It's business. It's called business.
Right.
But I'm also like, you know, there's obviously a million crime podcasts. Right. And if you guys give us one more year, Daniel and I are going to finally caterpillar into a butterfly and become a crime pen pals podcast where you can only write us letters about crime.
Yep. Penitentiary pals.
Penitentiary and pals. But my question, you know, to that is like, well, can I just go out and do a crime? Am I probably going to get away with it? All these podcasts, like, it's still unsolved to this day. Right. Like, are they all unsolved? Because for some reason, I thought they'd all get solved.
I listened to a podcast where they interviewed a bank robber, and he only got caught because he confessed.
Because he only got caught because he did that podcast.
Well, it is. The podcast was, it's called The Interrogation Room, and it's these cops. They have this
and
podcast.
It is kind of...
What about that podcast where it's, why don't these cops just start releasing The Interrogation Room as a podcast?
That would, people would love, that would crush.
It would crush. Oh, are we recording? I don't want to give that away.
No, let people have that. Let the people have that idea.
Rory.
Titanic'd. Yes.
Do you guys have any family legends?
It's hard to have, like, I'm trying to think if I have one, but how do you follow up that story? Like, that, I love that it was like, and anyways, now we're here. Do you guys have a story?
Right.
Like, how do you follow that? I don't know if I have any family legends.
Yeah. But do you have, like, all-timer stories that you're like, you guys remember when we, you remember, like, in my family, there's the Christmas Eve where every, like, you're going to think this was a bit, you're going to think... You guys are going to think like, oh, you must have done it. I'm not shitting you. I don't know if it was some combination of the noodles and the slickness of the plates. Seven people in a row in my family spilled spaghetti on the floor, like entirely dumped their plate of spaghetti on the floor. At a certain point, it became ridiculous.
And Rosemary, who, if you're a new listener, that is Daniel's wonderful grandmother.
Yeah.
Did she fucking lose it?
She kept being like, what's wrong with you?
Did she make it?
Yes, she made it.
Oh, God. Of course, she was like, stop it! Stop! Good to eat it!
We have a picture. We have a picture of like four of us on the kitchen floor cleaning up spaghetti.
Who was the seventh person and how?
I don't remember.
As soon as the seventh person did it, the sixth person was like,
right. We also have...
Thank God they dropped it.
This is documented on my very first episode as a guest of The Crab Feast, the former podcast of our two dear friends, Ryan Sickler and Jason Larson. But I talked about how there was a weekend up at the family cabin in Wisconsin where we had a goat. Like, a goat showed up and just spent the weekend with my family.
Michael Jordan was there.
And
someone's like, no, you mean Kobe. And someone's like, you mean LeBron.
We just devolve. And the goat was there the whole weekend. And it was like Labor Day weekend, or it was an extended holiday weekend. And yeah, we had a goat for 4 days that like
love that.
Stood on top of the grill, like a Weber grill. Like, it was still hot. It would jump up there and stand up there. And then at one point it ended up in the cabin. We're like, no, the goat cannot be in the cabin. And we named it Gary, and it was Gary.
Was that any?
And it just kind of lives as a little legendary story.
Is any part of you that thought that was the reincarnation of anyone in your family that had passed away within like the past 2 or 3 years?
Longer. It was like grandpa or something.
And you were like, that might be grandpa.
Yeah.
That would be
wild.
That I hold space for those kind of potential truths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. So we do have.
Because otherwise, like, what is the? And we talked about squirrel wizards. What is that goat's perception of your species and this location to be like? I'm gonna hang out here for a while. Yeah, like, what did know. It gain? Did you guys feed it? What do you feed a goat?
We didn't. Yeah,
what does a goat eat?
Like, well, they'll eat pretty much anything.
Burgers, but,
lettuce, if you're doing it right. Okay, I just thought of one.
If you're doing it right.
We do have a legendary story. It actually involves me in my family.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever told you this. So we came far too close to me not existing, like me not even being here.
Okay, this is directly relevant to the Titanic.
My mom was pregnant with me, as one does, and Aunt Helen, my mom's aunt, she passed away. Aunt Helen was like a huge matriarch pillar of my family. I obviously never met her.
Yeah.
They lived in Michigan. So everyone goes to Michigan, and I'm not due, I think, for like 2 weeks. Everyone goes to Michigan for the visitation and the funeral. That Aunt Helen was like a mom to my grandpa, Bob.
For sure. Yep.
And so they all leave Rochelle. They all go there. But my mom can't go. She's pregnant. Very close to her due date. And my Aunt Connie decides to stay with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I'll stay with Diane. So everybody else goes to the funeral. No one in my family is in Rochelle. Everyone goes. My mom, forgive me for not knowing all the medical stuff, but like something's wrong with her. Like she's very uncomfortable or she's sick or fever. Like she was in bad shape. So she goes to the hospital, Rochelle Community Hospital. And RCH. All I know is whatever was wrong with her, they misdiagnosed and they send her home. So now they're my mom and Aunt Connie are in my grandparents' house and everyone else is at the funeral. And my Aunt Connie, it's like super hot. It's the beginning of August, as you and I both know. August 5th, me, August 6th, you. We have Rochelle, it's super hot. Aunt Connie goes upstairs to go to sleep in my grandparents' bedroom because there's only room with air conditioning. And at some point in the middle of the night, we now get to the thick of it. At some point in the middle of the night, she just feels like, I should go check on Diane. I should just go check on her. She goes downstairs. Bathroom door is open. All she sees are Diane's feet on the floor.
Oh, God.
And my mom has gone into some sort of medical condition that is very, very bad. Yeah. And if they get her to the hospital, they figure out what it is, and I end up being born. But if she had not gone downstairs, I think I'm, without being able to tell you all the exact terms, but we would have both died.
Yeah.
And so it's just this like legendary thing of like Connie to this day is like, there was just something that was like, it's perfectly cold in this room, but I'm going to go walk through this hot ass house just because something's telling me to go check on Diane. And now I'm here and that's it. If somebody doesn't get up, if somebody doesn't like go downstairs, you're doing this podcast with probably somebody maybe funnier at times, but you're stuck.
I think that all the time.
I've seen
I'm always
your
like,
reviews.
Who
you also
could?
Write reviews.
I write a lot of negative reviews for our podcast.
So yeah, that's one. That's fine.
1 star. I like Rory, but not Daniel.
I don't want to say I wish Daniel had never been born, but it's possible.
And I know details. Yeah. Do I wish Aunt Connie would have gone to Aunt Helen's visitation? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. 1 star.
All right.
That is
it was close.
I can't believe we've been doing this show for this long and you have not told that story before. Because we know so much about Aunt Connie and Diane and your family in Rochelle. It's Rochelle. And I can't believe that hasn't come up before.
Well, now you know.
I don't know that I have one. I don't remember my life in these ways. When people tell me family stories and all these things, I just don't remember any of these details.
I mean, it's the whole sliding.
It's so impressive.
Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors thing, right? Where like you like didn't Richie Valens, isn't that his name?
Like, La Bamba.
The music died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't even supposed to be on that plane.
That's
someone
right.
Gave up their seat so that he could fly on it, and then
that's right.
Him and Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper.
That's right.
Yeah. There's probably a million things like that that you don't even know that you didn't do blank, and so blank never happened or did happen.
Right.
I love this letter so much. You know, we always say we've got our little thing. If you want to write us back, you're all our pen pals. If you've got one of these in your life, send it to us. Let us know. thepenpalspod@gmail.com. Ryan, if you want to ever send us your other stuff, unemployments, breakups, or just how you're doing with the myriad of daily challenges,
hit us up. Again.
Way to tease at the end. But we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Van Scovel. And we're back, folks. You're in it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
Agreed. Second.
If you enjoy this, tell people. If you don't enjoy this, I don't know how you're even hearing my voice right now. How did you get this far into the episode? You're like, I don't even like this.
If you don't, you deserve to be happy. And if we're not it, like that's okay. But also, I think if you stick around, we will be it because we care.
Yeah. We're just two cackling idiots. We're just having fun. We're just having some fun here.
Yep.
But here's our next letter. Let me just reach up and try to grab it here.
Grab it. Love it.
Oh, open it up here. Obviously, this is snail mail.
Rory is making this noise with his mouth. Stop.
I do Foley.
I know, and you're very good.
Hi, guys. Exclamation point. I like that.
Love that.
That's like excitement. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. Okay, yes. I didn't want to show favoritism with naming one before the other. Ha,
that's nice of you to do to Rory.
That's nice of you to know that Daniel's feelings matter. I'll try to keep this short. A year ago, I like that I immediately just said the same joke you just did.
I did too. I genuinely did.
I'll try to keep this short. A year ago this weekend, I was informed by my now former friend's boyfriend.
Okay.
That said former friend and my ex-boyfriend had been having a relationship behind our backs. Note, I was not dating my ex-boyfriend during this time. Daniel, are you already wildly confused by the equation?
Yeah, I literally, I'm not going to lie, I started doing a flow chart.
I am doing one right now, and I am trying to, informed by my now former friend's boyfriend.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say.
So he also was cheated on?
Sarah and Kim were friends. Sarah dated Michael.
Okay? Yes.
Okay. Kim dated Randy.
Okay. I thought you were going to get like, I thought the joke was going to be the name was so outlandish. It also detracted from the equation.
Sarah and Kim are friends. Sarah dates Michael. Kim dates Randy.
Alpha okay. Bar.
Right.
But he goes by Arthur.
Sarah and Michael met at brunch. Now, it wasn't one of those shitty brunches where like bottomless mimosas,
no,
but they rolled out
no.
on you. This was top tier, very good, like you could tell by the quality of the hollandaise sauce.
Yes.
So
pancakes for the table was called pancakes for the table on the menu because they knew the vibe of the table.
Sarah and Michael date. Sarah and Michael break up. Sarah and Michael no longer together. Mm-hmm. At this point, Kim and Michael
Alpha Bar.
Randy Alpha Bar. Kim and Michael start having sexual relations.
Interesting.
Now, do I know at this point in the flowchart whether or not Randy Alpha Bar and Kim are still together? I do not. But I do know that much later on in time, Randy Alpha Bar tells Sarah that Michael and Kim were having sex with each other. Now,
I mean, I feel like you took liberties with some details.
Sarah has not told us yet how long after her dating they started to have sex. And by they, I obviously mean Michael Bavioli and Kim Stanton. So if Bavioli and Stanton
my brain is like melting.
Do you know how impressed even I am with myself?
I am so impressed by the distance you got out of that.
Michael Bavioli and Kim Stanton?
Kimmy Stanton. Kimmy S.
So they've been having a relationship behind our backs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means that Randy is saying, hey, Sarah, did you know both of our exes have been having sex? Or if Randy's saying, did you know that while Kim Stanton and I were together, and after you and Michael Bavioli broke up, they were together. I have no idea.
I'm going to reread this, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
I'll try to keep this short. A year ago this weekend, I was informed by my now former friend's boyfriend that said former friend and my ex-boyfriend had been having a relationship behind our backs. Note, I was not dating my ex-boyfriend during this time. Does the note mean when I found out this information that that relationship had already ended, but I found out I was cheated on, but when I was informed of the cheating on, I was not still in a relationship with that person?
I think that Sarah is saying that when Michael was having sex with Kim, they weren't together. But I will say the fact that she says my
no, I think they were together when that was happening. But when she found out about it, they were no longer together.
But she says I was not dating my ex-boyfriend during this time. Do you mean the time that that Michael was having sex with Kim or during the time that she found out?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, the fact that Randy says it was behind our backs, that must mean they were all dating.
Okay, we're going to push through. So we are three sentences into this letter.
Kim and Michael have broken up, but Kim and Sarah have broken. Sorry. Sarah and Michael have broken up. Sarah and Michael have broken up, but Randy said, hey, I know you guys already broke up. I'm still with Kim, but I just found out that.
And I want you to know.
Yes, and okay. I know you guys are already broken up, but I just want you to know that Kim and Michael were cheating. Kim was cheating on me, and Michael was cheating on you.
Yeah, I just want our listeners who are going to write a letter and they go, I don't know, my letter might be too confusing. I just want you to know, it doesn't matter because Daniel and I decipher shit and we pull it together and we are detectives and we figure it out. We have a few open cases still.
Yep.
Ex-boyfriend of mine had put me through intermittent hell via what I now understand was emotional abuse,
that would be
trauma bonding BS, basic narcissist shit. This on-again, off-again relationship lasted a span of 14 years with several years in the middle of that with no contact and a reconnection initiated by him beginning in 2015. We started officially dating again in 2018, which quickly concluded a few months in with more of his gaslighting and all sorts of hell that I stupidly and very painfully tried to hang on for months, waiting for him to be okay as he claimed illness, etc. Stars, eye roll. Do you say stars? What is that? You say star?
Asterisk, eye roll, asterisk.
Asterisk,
I like stars more. I like stars way more. If somebody says stars and then whatever they follow it with, you want it's like parentheses.
Yeah.
Like you know that it's bookended with stars.
Anyway, all that put me into a long road of healing, therapy, etc. Meanwhile, trying to make huge changes in my personal life outside that relationship and my professional life. All of this is too much to get into for this message. Oh, we are in it now.
We're in, yeah.
So my ex-friend, who he has been having this relationship, I discovered, had been using my confiding in her about him over the last few years to gather intel so she could make her move. Whoa. Jesus Christ.
Jesus, Kim.
Fucking Kim. When I found out about their relationship, she and my ex-boyfriend didn't respond to my reaching out to them to confirm this or apologize. Instead, they both blocked me and hid the inappropriateness of this from their families and other friends. Oh, yeah, he was representing her as her attorney. I digress.
Michael is also Kim's lawyer?
Yes. This might be a pitch for a hour drama that we're reading.
Let's get this to Shonda, baby.
I spent last summer hurting deeply over this. I felt absolutely destroyed while dealing with unemployment and pandemic shit, and at times a lot of isolation because of those things. Thank goodness for my poor mom who listened to so much of my crying, breakdowns, and ranting over it all. All that said, as part of my healing, I found many podcasts to get me through the tough times, including DPT and Pen Pals, Dumb People Town, if you're new. You two have restored my hope that good, decent, caring, humane men still exist, and with humor to boot. So thank you both for existing and being the sweet, funny guys you are. DVK, your stories especially resonate with me, as I'm from a smallish city outside Chicago. By the way, I was also taking classes at Second City Chicago. I was about to start Level C when the old pandemo shut it down, among many other things I was doing to change my life. So hopefully this year will be better. Any advice or words of hope or stories you can share that would relate to any of this would be greatly appreciated. I know that sounds so vague. Haha. I just am not sure what to ask, but wanted to share a bit of my story with you and how you have helped me feel happy and laugh and restored some hope in humans. LOL. I also see that I did not keep this very short, but trust me, this is the shortest version of a very long, detailed, complex, and awful story. Below, unrelated to my story, I'm including a pic of some basil I saw at my local Jewel when looking for basil. DVK, that's for you. Thanks again. Best, Annie. And since everyone can't see, she's included a picture of basil that comes fresh from Rochelle, Illinois. I like to add the Z because I love Sufjan Stevens.
Dude, great food comes from Rochelle, man. Great produce.
Great food, basil, great vibes.
Tomatoes, Vince's
awesome
pizza.
Fucking vibes, dude. Can So knowing that there is a lot here that we can't necessarily comment on,
right,
because we don't totally know it, right, I have a few things to throw into this. First off, Annie, it does sound like you're in a better space in dealing with this very traumatic relationship / friendship. And God bless you for getting through that, because, oh my God, that is a mind fuckery of people that when people fuck just with people's minds, that to me is some of the purest evil.
Yeah.
And it's when someone says fuck you to your face, that's when you go, you're not evil. You're not evil.
Right.
It's behind your back shit.
You might be mean, but you're not evil.
Yeah. You might be mean and maybe we have friction.
You could also be evil, but at least I know you're honest with your
mean. You're showing me your cards because you're saying, hey, I'm not hiding. It's the hiding. And I mean, from a friend and from a boyfriend, like that is deep, dark, evil type shit. Mm-hmm. Stars, eye roll. I get it. Knowing that you didn't ask a specific question here, but you did heavily compliment Daniel and I want to throw this out there because I think sometimes this isn't talked about all the time. And I think there's some people who maybe don't grow because they think that that's not who they are. When you say thank you to Daniel and I, and you say stuff like, you know, you're good. You restore faith in the fact that men can be good, caring, kind people. I want to make it clear, it doesn't mean that Daniel and I didn't come from instances of maybe at points in our life behaving like pieces of shit or behaving in the way that maybe someone would stereotypically classify a man to be, you know, fucking whatever people would say, where it's like misogynistic or sexist or all these things. Speaking for myself alone, because I don't know Daniel's entire past, but I don't come from a place of this clean sheet of, hey, I'm this caring, kind person. I was influenced by those people who, in retrospect, I think back and go, God, I'm so in awe of the men and women in my life who at a very young age seemed to really be open to understanding how to compose themselves in a mature way to be kind and compassionate and caring and all those things, empathetic, all that.
Right.
Because I was not that person, but they influenced me to be this person who I am today. So when you do say, I just want to make it clear. So when you say thank you, I just want you to know that, you know, I there isn't a part of me that sits here and go, I used to be as evil as your ex-boyfriend. I wasn't.
No.
But you know, I definitely wasn't like some person I would say had an A+ and was some great guy. I was influenced by the right people to become that. And I say that to any listeners who, you know, if you know someone in your life, don't discount the fact that people can change into someone that you really do like. You do have to hope it happens. You have to hope that people do the work to actually change. And if you're listening to this and you're a man and you're like, I still say sexist stuff or I still do stuff because that's who I am, I just want you to know that is the problem everyone's always talking about. That is the problem. The unwillingness to open your mind, open your ears, and listen to what people are talking about. I know I'm babbling here, but a quick example, the whole discussion over proper pronouns and what people want you to use as their pronouns. There's the person who goes, well, I don't care and I'm not going to do it. And then there's a person who's like, explain it to me and teach it to me and I'll figure it out. If it means something to your to respecting you and respecting how you want things, I want you to know I am signing up for the side of respect as opposed to the side of, well, I think it's ridiculous and I don't live like that. That is what I'm talking about. You're going to be one of those two people. Try to always be the person who signs up to listen and have an open mind and be willing to change.
There are people, Rory, who, like, I guarantee they don't put it like this, like they haven't realized it, but their problem with me, like their problem with me as a person, I lost some relationships in the last like year, right? As we've just had enough like things in our world that made you go like, hey, do you care about these people? Hey, do you care about this thing? Do you care about this? Do you care? Right. There are people whose number one problem with me is that I care. Like, and they'll never put it in that way, but like, you still talk to Daniel Van Kirk. They're like, no, like that, like, I was just fucking sick of him, like, caring about people.
Fighting for care.
Right.
He just kept fighting for care.
And I
just
on the quick thing of pronouns, that. Right? If anybody's ever like, I'm not doing that shit. You're fuck. If you look like this, you look like this. And that's what I say you are. And then I'll go, what's your name? And then, you know, they'll go, Nathan. I go, okay. You want me to call you that? And they go, yeah. I go, why? Cause that's my name. Like, so you want me to call you Nathan? Like, I don't call you don't call you Cantaloupe. I'm like, no, it's Nathan. I'm like, all right. So I'm just calling it. I'm just calling you that because you've asked me to call you Nathan.
Yes. Right.
And I have to, you want me to go along with it just because you asked? Well, that's my name. I'm like, yeah, you identify as Nathan. So that's what you want to be called.
Right.
And then I'll just stop and look at them for a long time and see if they catch up to the race we've started.
A lot of times they don't. But even in this, like, even in, and this is a great example.
You're already asking me to call you something. And because yes. I care, I do it. I don't call you Cantaloupe. Yes. I call you Nathan.
And this is a good point. And you and I what I love about this point is in this scenario, if you're the Daniel and someone is the Nathan, don't discount, and I obviously am barring someone who is viciously evil and physically abusive.
Sure.
But don't discount the fact that maybe the light will go off for Nathan. And Nathan will go, you're right. Oh my God.
We're all asking.
And you just go, there you go. And I'm not trying to explain my point to you, because if you see it, you're gonna go, well, now Daniel's above me because he taught me. All no, the teachers, no. And you do see this. You do see this.
Right. I know. I
for
hate
some
that.
People, some people don't want to grow and they don't want to change, because then it means
then Daniel.
I'm indebted to Dan. Yeah. That means Daniel was right, and what I'm admitting is wrong. It's the right. Evils of the fucking ego. Be wrong. Allow yourself to be wrong. Accept that you're fucking wrong. And when someone explains something to you, and you really think maybe they're right or they have a point, be willing to be changed and tell them. And also, conversely, and I don't know if I'm using that right, but if in this scenario, you're the teacher, you're Daniel here, don't fucking hold it over someone that you taught them something or you changed them.
That's
pass on
too.
The thing that probably someone right. passed on to you. And right. it's, I think about it too. When I try to argue with people or have a thing, I don't try to have this thing like I'm fucking super smart, because I know that I'm not. But I right. do know that at one point I was wrong. And it right. wasn't me that changed me into the person being right. Right. The only work I did was opening my mind and actually fucking listening and then
else.
Stepping back and going, that person is right. You know what? That person actually is right. I don't say F-A-G-G-O-T.
Right.
I used to say it jokingly all the fucking time, right. up until my very good friend, who I love dearly, Todd Glass, did Marc Maron, and he came out and he explained the perspective of so many people in your life. And he came out because so many young people were committing suicide mm-hmm. because of what they were
yes.
dealing with.
Yes.
And he came out and explained why, when you're someone like me, he didn't reference me specifically, but it was specifically something that I related
right.
to.
Right.
Someone like me who uses that word jokingly with friends, and you don't mean it in the way
right.
that someone who's trying to be hurtful uses it, he right. still explained what it does to that other person. And it was right. so, and I was, and I wanted to sit there and go, yeah, but I'm joking and I use it this way and mm-hmm. it's funny and blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. I step back and I go, or is he right? Or is he right because right. he's on the other side of the experience of that word and I'm not and I never will be.
Right.
So is he right? And I said, he is right. And from this point on, I'm not going to fucking do that. Yeah. I'm going to fucking change.
Same.
And there you go. So when someone goes, oh, well, you used to use that and you used to be an asshole, I go, yes. So don't discount that the person who is an asshole can't maybe open up their mind. A lot of it does come from them being willing to do the work and the teacher coming from a place of, I'm just trying to inform you, not trying to fucking hold something over your fucking your head about it, you know.
Can I say before we roll out of here, like,
is that my first rant coming over to Team Coco?
Yeah, it was good, and I don't mean that in a facetious way. I don't. I don't.
It was good. That was a good fucking rant, dude.
Any advice, words, or hope stories you could share that relate to? I think this is the thing I would tell you, okay? Just because in my own life, a few years ago, I went through like kind of a traumatic thing, and then I tried to like double down on other areas of positivity in my life. And that's good. And that benefited me. And I'd say that is an important thing to do, like go where the warmth is. But also at the same time, I encourage you to take inventory and treat what did happen to you. The mistake that I made for a long time is that I just doubled down into like those other positive areas, and I just kind of left this other like wound, right? It'd almost be like, yeah, if you had a sprained ankle and you're like, man, I can't walk, so I'm just gonna keep doing bicep curls. And yeah, your arms will get huge, but at some point, like, you've got to rehabilitate that ankle.
Yeah.
And so I would say that be prepared, and maybe you already are. So maybe I'm saying this to somebody else who's going to hear it. But if I'm saying it to you, you know, and like what happened with Randy and Michael and Kim, Sarah is
Stanton family. Yeah.
Is tough. And so I would say to you, like, in future friendships and in future relationships, and maybe you're already doing this, like I said, be able to be upfront with that. Like, tell a person, like, hey, just so you know, and I'm not saying like date one or first friendship hang, but be able to say to somebody like, hey, just, you know, I've been coming out of this thing where I had some people who hurt me. So if I ever come off like a little bit like cagey, or if I am like a little bit like the trust part seems a little hard for me, I just want you to know it's just coming from a real place of something that I'm working on. Because one, that allows you, that gives you that emotional and mental permission to say to yourself, like, yeah, I was wounded. And you're also telling someone else, you know, like, if we were going to go out and to just stick with the sprained ankle thing, and like Rory and I were going to throw the frisbee around, and he never mentioned to me that he sprained his ankle, I'm going to be like, this dude fucking sucks at like getting to these catches and going over there. Whereas if he goes like, dude, I'd love to throw the frisbee with you, just, you know, I tweaked my ankle a couple of days ago, so if it's too far for me, I'm not going to be a run over and get it. And now we know the context of this. Do not be too trivial, this relationship of throwing a frisbee.
Right.
And so I want you to be able to have that for yourself as well, where you just say, feel free to say to somebody, and if that's for somebody who's like too much for them, that doesn't also make them a bad person. It means that maybe you just kind of met at a time in your life where they didn't have the bandwidth to be there for somebody, and you don't want those people to be for you, be there if they can't be there for you. So just my only advice, where like you've gone through something traumatic, it behooves you to identify that, be upfront with it, and allow yourself that time to heal. And you may already be doing all that stuff. And also, even though I feel confident in the things that I said, I want to remind everybody, Rory and I are not professionals. We just give a shit. So we speak from the truest form of giving a shit.
And the other version of that is Daniel has to be up front and say, look, I fucking suck at throwing the frisbee. You're going to be running a lot. I rarely hit the target, which is obviously you. And so because I wasn't up front about how bad I am at this,
right?
You know, I'm going to have to discover that you also concealed some information to me that you might not be able to adjust to how bad I am at this.
Yeah.
But if I step up and say, hey, I'm not good at throwing this frisbee and hitting the target, and you say, hey, great, I'm not going to be great at being able to move quickly,
right,
then maybe we, as two people participating in something, say, hey, then we're probably not going to be able to operate at great distances. Let's get it in closer together and make our jobs easier. I don't know if we came up with the perfect metaphor for a relationship, but I think we did, and I bet we get nominated for that.
Well, we did, because I will say, Rory, we did, because all we're doing is highlighting communication and expectation and
rehabilitation.
Yes. Can I also just say, because I feel like I have to put those, I'm extremely good at throwing a frisbee. So that was more of a metaphor. No, I am.
Well, I'm not. Good. I have good ankles. I want to be very clear. I played soccer. I played soccer for several years. So I've got strong ankles. I want to be very clear about that.
I hope I love that this show can have been there for you. I love that we can be there for you. That's what pen pals are for. I'm sorry for all the stuff that you've gone through. And I hope you're able to get back into the more of the positive things in your life that you were enjoying, like Second City. God knows that place changed my life and meant the world to me. It seems like it's going through some changes to only get better in that regard, which is a positive thing. I don't even read this, so I'm not going to close it out. But
I'm going to close it out right now, dude.
Glad we could be there for you. Keep us posted. Let us know how you're doing. And Rory?
And if you guys are looking for non-GMO project verified basil that's pesticide free that comes from Rochelle, Illinois, don't be afraid of grown for locals, Bright Farms Basil. Annie, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Van Kirk
and Daniel Scovel.
So long ago.